You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's June 25th, 2026, and welcome to episode 188 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the program today. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the new update for Assassin's Creed Shadows, Black Tides. And given that this is post-game content, there may be some slight spoilers for the main game, but I will try to keep that at a minimum. But consider this your warning. As always, though, let's kick things off with a look at the news. Grand Theft Auto 6 is getting closer and closer to release, and this week we got some more specific information on the launch, including the price and pre-order details. Today's story is from GameIndustry.biz, and Rockstar announced yesterday that GTA 6 will launch on November 19th at $79.99 for the Standard Edition and $99.99 for an Ultimate Edition. The Ultimate Edition will include, quote, an exclusive collection of premium vehicles, weapons, apparel, and action threaded across all aspects of Jason and Lucia's story. Pre-orders began at midnight last night, and buyers will be able to pre-install the game starting on November 12th, which should ease the pressure on those servers just a little bit, hopefully. One interesting but unsurprising, I think, detail is that the physical edition of the game will also hit retailers on November 12th, but will only include a download code for the game, which will allow them to pre-install the game at the same time. I predict that there will be a lot of confused faces among the more casual video game players who will pick up their copy of GTA 6 at Target on the 12th and discover not only that there's no disc, but that they won't be able to play it for another week. That ought to be interesting. I totally get why they do this. The last thing that they want to do is to ship millions and millions of physical copies of this game to stores, stores which will undoubtedly break street date, and then you end up with spoilers all over the internet. I know it's a bummer for physical media fans, but this is 2026, and it's just the way the industry is moving. I also think that considering the reported budget on this game and the speculation among some that Rockstar was going to push charging $100 for the game, $80, I think, seems like a reasonable price for a game of this size and scope. Assassin's Creed Shadows is a great game. It was my number two game of 2025, and I think I would probably place it as my number two favorite Assassin's Creed game of all time. The setting of 16th century Japan was fantastic and fun to explore. It was a stunningly beautiful game, and I think it had great characters and an interesting story. When I rolled credits on it last year, though, I did feel like they maybe left a little bit on the table. Like, it was a good ending, but it could have been a great ending. And with the latest and final update to the game, Black Tides, they are putting a bow on Yasuke and Naoe's adventure, and I think it wraps things up pretty darn perfectly. This is the third of the free story updates that they've released, meaning in order to access it, you'll need to have finished the main game, plus the first two free update missions that they released, A Critical Encounter and A Puzzlement. Once you have done all of that, this new mission will appear in the far southwest corner of the map. It is important to note that you do not need to complete the Claws of Awaji expansion first, which was their first big paid expansion for the game and added like a dozen or so hours of content to it. So you don't have to worry about trying to get that finished. So towards the end of the story in Shadows, the conflict between the Assassins and the Templars, which has driven the entire series, comes more into focus. But if you wanted more of that storyline, Black Tides really focuses on that. It begins with the arrival of two members of a special sect of the Templar known as the Black Cross. And these are basically the worst of the worst, the deadliest killers. And they have come to Japan to clean up the mess made by Nuno Caro and the Templars that were operating in the region. And these two Templars make a wicked first impression. They are deadly and threatening in a way that feels like they could likely take out Naoe or Yasuke without breaking much of a sweat. They make such a compelling threat that I kind of wish that they would have been a part of the main game itself. They're just really cool, and like most of the baddies in the series, they are out to do more than just kill the Assassins. They are searching for something powerful, something that connects this game with one of my favorite Assassin's Creed characters. If you play most of the games in the series, you'll probably get a huge kick out of it like I did. It isn't a huge, lengthy expansion. If you've played the previously mentioned required missions, you can get through this in like around 2 hours, maybe less. But it's time well spent, and it's a really nice new end cap to the game. It's exciting. I think it's funny and a nice treat for longtime fans. I do gotta say, though, the final fight sucks hard, and I eventually I dropped the difficulty down to story mode. So don't be afraid to just do that right off the bat and save yourself a headache. Also worth mentioning is a new side game, I guess you'd call it, called Domains, that they've added along with this update. It's basically a series of challenge maps to complete. That's not really what I come to the series for, but if that sounds cool to you, then it's something else worth diving back in for. Shadows is still one of my favorite games in the series, and jumping back in for a weekend got me even more psyched to go back to another favorite entry of mine when Black Flag Resynced launches in just like 2 weeks. Wait for more concrete information about the potential layoffs and studio closures at Xbox. I've been thinking a lot about the effects of boycotts on certain companies and why I don't really give them, you know, much thought. Now, to be clear, before everybody gets mad at me, you are absolutely free to buy what you want or choose not to buy from certain companies. That is your prerogative. It's a choice we all make, and I encourage it. Second, what is reportedly going on with Microsoft and Xbox is 100% on them. They own this. If they do decide to close certain studios or sell them off, that is their decision to choose profitability over, you know, creative diversity. So with all that clear, being said, I do find myself slightly annoyed by some of the conversation around these boycotts. I don't think I've seen any of these efforts come forward without a big asterisk next to them. For instance, the calls to boycott Xbox games due to Microsoft's financial dealings with the Israeli government and their actions in Gaza. You know, on its face, great, support the Palestinian people who have been slaughtered and forced from their homes. That is a great thing to get behind. My question is, you know, are you also refusing to use LinkedIn or Windows or GitHub or Outlook? Or, you know, are you choosing specifically to boycott Xbox because you hardly use it anyway, if at all? And if you only boycott something because it's easy and it has almost no effect on your day-to-day life, does it really mean all that much? You know, that would be like me boycotting TikTok or Chick-fil-A. I don't think it's going to matter all that much. It's great, you know, that you've canceled your Game Pass subscription or you're not going to watch the new Harry Potter show, but, you know, you're still posting on Twitter. You know, you're still ordering socks on Amazon, still buying that new iPhone. You see where I'm going? All of us, myself included, are selective about which companies we choose to get outraged about. I've also seen some folks, many of whom had been calling for the Xbox boycott, saying that they wish that more people had bought South of Midnight and supported Compulsion Studios. And it's like, yeah, you know, yeah, of course. If you're calling for people not to buy these games, how are you going to be surprised when the game underperforms and the studio's closed? That was always going to be the end game if this boycott worked. You know, did you really think that the company that's worth nearly $3 trillion is going to react to you not buying that video game by reversing massive international policy, even if, you know, said policy is vile and disgusting and complicit in the deaths of thousands of people? No, they're going to do what massive corporations do, which is find the departments that are underperforming and make cuts. As much as I've enjoyed my Xbox and games over the years, I'm under no illusions that the people sitting at the top of that pile of money at Microsoft care about anything other than that pile getting higher. Like I said, we all decide which companies to support and which not to, and we will all continue to do so as we should. I just think maybe that we should not delude ourselves into thinking that we are some beacon of morality or act surprised when those workers who are in the crosshairs of a boycott end up without a job. On that note, we are in the final stretch of our Midlife Pride Quest campaign to raise money for Outfront Minnesota, and we've still got a long way to go. If you'd like to contribute, go visit GoFundMe and search for Midlife Side Quest. And while I have been informed that I am not allowed to mention any sort of incentive or prize on the fundraising page, if you do make a donation, shoot me a message on Blue Sky so that I can, let's just say, thank you personally. And thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.